Doing pretty well. It's been quite an eventful lapse in time since the last we spoke. Not necessarily anything crazy, but just regaining a lot of things, and the daughter's getting older faster than I can keep up with, frankly. And so, which I know you know plenty about. So, but no, good. It's been a good year. It's been a good, what, year and a half since we spoke or so. Or no, gosh.
Let's see here. It was I think we talked in
Oh,
January, February. I mean, almost a year and a half. I mean,
yeah.
anyway, only like 3 or 4 months after your accident. So.
Yeah, it was real. Yeah, it was really recent. And it's kind of hard to even time, obviously, kind of changes as you get older and take on more things, but even it's just so it's been a it's time is already weird enough, and then COVID, the accident, the newborn. It's so it feels like it's been 10 years, to be honest with you. It's crazy. And it feels like it's been 2 days, it's just this weird dichotomy, but it's good, man. It's been really good. How you been, man?
I've been good, man. It's kind of similar, with regards to we sort of we talked right before all the COVID nonsense started.
Yes, yeah, nonsense, yeah.
And that's when that was when the last time that you and I spoke, as far as like with in regards to like the last podcast that we did. So
Right.
and then then everything kind of just went like haywire. But we adapted and adjusted, and we just put a plan together on what we wanted to do not too long after, which was definitely not staying in Washington. And here we are,
Yeah.
Montana, 6 months in. So
Yeah, how's that? That's exciting stuff, man. That's cool.
yeah, we love it, man. It's awesome out here. It's everybody's nice. Like there's like you almost don't even know that there's COVID at all. Just the whole thing.
Yeah.
People still wear masks, but like more and more information is actually finally starting to go mainstream on how much like they don't work. Especially like a lot of the new studies that finally got like published and put out there about the spread through. It's not just droplets, it's aerosol. So 6 feet doesn't do shit. Masks don't do shit.
Masks literally don't do anything.
It does, and of course it's still like you talk about that or you post something about that, and then like the fact checkers mark your posts on social media, and then your potentially your episodes can get taken down. So but it is what it is. More and more info is coming out,
Yeah.
it's funny, it took a year and a half for them to put out a study saying, so apparently if you're healthy and in shape, you have a vastly reduced risk of getting sick or dying from COVID. Like, no shit, really?
Yeah. Well, what gets me too, I think maybe more than anything, is all of the just the absolute, I mean, willful, gleeful ignorance
Oh,
to
yeah.
all of the other, I mean, my wife does hair, and so, I hear a lot of what she hears. Nothing necessarily too personal, but I mean, like, there are a lot of kids who are really struggling not being in schools.
Right.
And we're in Ohio, man. It's really not that bad. This isn't New York. It's not California. It's been, I think DeWine, hindsight's always 2020, man. I think he could have done better, but at the same time, I'm gonna give him some slack. At least by and large. I mean, but the kids around here, I mean, they're struggling, and like that's just one of the many seriously negative side effects to this whole thing. And hell, I think masks are probably, making more people sick than anything. Which
Right.
that's specifically masks. As far as masks go, that's one thing that's really pissed me off quite a bit, is like how's no one wanting or willing to talk about all the adverse effects of breathing? Like, dude, you're not changing your masks out every time you come in contact with someone, throwing it away, getting a new one. It's just ridiculous. And it's we I don't think we could I'm pretty sure, given how they were so quick to tell people to not buy masks, likely to kind of help
Yeah.
medical, and so clearly there aren't enough masks to even put that into practice, even if everyone were willing to do so,
right,
and disciplined enough to do it. So it's like, you can't even, we can't even do what you would suggest because we don't have enough supplies to do so. So it's like, clearly it's a problem, but
yeah.
So yeah, it's frustrating, man. It's frustrating. I, this whole COVID thing, like, I got rid of Facebook and
yeah,
just, yeah, I couldn't take it. And I mean, it's certainly not a judgment to anyone who still has it. It's just me. I'm like, man, what am I even doing on here anymore? You know, right. The people that I care most about, I got their number so I can shoot them a text or whatever, send them a video or something. If I'm like, hey man, check out this thing that
right.
I've been doing. And I know you're, you know, whatever. And it was nice for a while because I had a lot of people that it seemed like there were a lot of people that were interested in the situation I was in and enjoyed and, you know, got some positive benefit from kind of seeing some of my videos and things. And I thought, boy, this is really cool. Maybe I'm helping a few people.
Right.
So I really hate to, even on a small scale, obviously it's not that many, but it's like, you know, a few people, I'd love to help people if I can. So, but after a while it's like, you know, whatever benefit I maybe am giving them, it's too much, man. I can't handle it. You know, it gets to a point where I'm not even following anybody anymore or anything like that. Cause I'm like, I can't handle the ridiculous. You know? So I'm like, whatever, what am I even doing on here anyway? Screw it.
Yeah. It's hard, man. I mean, look, it's really important to make sure that, like, you know, especially in your situation, like you're taking care of like your own, like because if you're not taking care of yourself, then like you're no good to your family, right?
Yes.
And at that point too, like you're smack dab in the middle of, and it's not to say that, you know, like everything's all cherry now, but you know, you're way farther along than you were. Well, you know, when this first. Well, actually, you know what? It's probably a good point to kind of catch everybody up on everything. So, you know, Bruce has a really interesting story. So if you guys haven't listened to my first episode, just go back and listen to that one. And that'll go like really deep dive into the details of his accident. But long story short, you know, actually I'll let you explain, you know.
Just a quick down and dirty recap, I guess, was following behind, a car accident very close early in the morning. I stopped to administer aid if need be, if I could. There's not much that I know how to do, but I was willing to try something if I could. And then kind of got blindsided and was hit by a car as I was standing on the side of the road, kind of in the shoulder there. And it severed my femoral artery. So, which is pretty serious. Luckily, there was some people on scene right away. One of which, a nurse, was luckily there to administer aid to me right away, which is funny. I'm the only one who really needed it at the time, it turns out. But got to the hospital. You know, they care flighted me in. It was pretty bad. They weren't sure if I would make it. That cleared up pretty quick, but ended up having to lose my leg. From about mid shin down,
mm-hmm.
Which is very lucky, all things considered. And then that of course happened, just about a week, well, about 9 days before my, first child was born, I should say. So, about 8 days out was hit, and laid up in, ICU and, made it out okay.
Right.
What's that? Sorry.
You were in a coma too.
It was a medically induced coma.
Yeah.
And
they questioned whether they were going to bring you out in time for the birth at the time, right? Like at the beginning.
I don't mean to get too technical, but technically that probably was not so much of an issue. The biggest issue was whether or not I'd be able to be anywhere near, mm-hmm. because when they brought me out, it seemed like that was somewhat on schedule.
Right.
But the big thing was like, you're not going to be able to be there. This is all before COVID. So this has nothing to do with that stuff. I know now they're doing that, or at least they have been for the last year, not letting people in, but this was strictly, you're too prone to an infection. And so we don't want to let you leave the room, right. was really what it boiled down to. And so we'll set up an iPad and you could watch that, and which is like, I mean, which is crazy because now that's people will be like, oh, yeah, it's normal. It's like, no, bro, that ain't normal, dude. No, hell no, that's not normal, you know? So, but I had an amazing health staff. They were incredible. But I had a couple that were kind of rogue, that were like real badass. And they were like, look, we're going to get you out of here. Like, we're going to figure it out, you know, which was really cool. But so, yeah, I ended up working out. It worked out. I was able to get down there to see my baby being born. And I mean, literally my wife's OBGYN is up in my room as I'm finishing up a blood transfusion, and she walks down with me, kind of, I roll in, they park me, and she just straps up the gloves right away and is like, let's push. I mean, it was like, boom, boom, boom. That was just so, cause they gave me 90 minutes, you can be down there for 90 minutes. So it's like, all right, start pushing. Cause I don't have much time. We got to get this thing out of here, you know? So, but it all worked out. I was there, got to be with my wife for all of the actual, you know, all the pushing. Missed right. all of the really, you know, awesome stuff before being able to be with her then. But a lot of great people, though, family and friends that were there for her, you know, when I couldn't be. So, but yeah, so it all worked out. And we're now, well, my daughter's just hit 17 months. So, I mean, we're about 17 months out from the accident. Yeah, it's crazy, man. And she's now officially faster than me. At the beginning of the whole thing, I thought for sure I'd be able to outrun her for like a good decade. But not anymore. Definitely not now.
As soon as they get up, man, and start moving, it's just like it's a race. Like before, even their legs are fully like, you know, balanced and everything else. That hand is like a heat-seeking missile, dude. Like that.
Yeah,
they're like
crazy.
Oh, bobblehead, man. It's funny.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun to watch, man. Like I said, obviously you know, but it's hard to put into words how awesome. It is. It's just nothing better.
One, to have that constant, just, you know, especially because probably now it's more, I don't want to say normal, but there's been time to kind of adjust to all the changes in life, you know, what happened with the accident, right? But at the beginning,
right.
Like so many times, every time there's a first with your kid, you know, with your first child, it's really big. But there was probably that like double emphasis of like, oh, I couldn't, like, there was a big chance like I couldn't have been here for this. I may have not seen it, or she may not have had me here, you know, because of all that. I remember we talked, I think it was a little bit after the podcast. We were chatting back and forth from time to time, you know, via text or Instagram. And you were telling me you were having a hard time a little bit, kind of struggling with that, you know, not getting down on yourself because of everything you couldn't do yet. I mean, and the accident was it was like 4 months at that point. You know what I mean? Like they were just, yeah. You hadn't even been fitted for a prosthesis. You were just doing the rehab. You were still doing the rehab on getting a functional movement in your knee again, just in that aspect alone, because there was so much damage to the knee itself too as well, right?
Yeah, the knee is still,
I
would say probably technically a majority still locked up. I do get, you know, I get enough range to walk and right. a little extra. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've worked in enough range to kind of do some deadlifts and things. But mm-hmm. So walking is good. It's as good as I think it's far better than they might have expected.
Right.
They were hopeful for, but maybe didn't actually expect. And, you know, if they're kind of saying the quiet part out loud, you know, in an honest moment, they'd probably say, yeah, we thought he'd do okay, but, you know, didn't really think his knee would work very well. So, yeah. But it's working okay. And I don't know if I'll ever get much more than where I'm at now, but what I've got now has been good. But, it's hard because I wouldn't say that I'm some sort of like physical specimen. But I'm a small guy. I can handle my body weight well, you know, so I've always just been like a agile, strong for my size guy who kind of was physically never really too hindered by, you know, being a shorter guy or these other things. I was always a pretty athletic guy.
Right.
So I leaned on that a lot all the time. I mean, work, it was kind of like, well, I can work however many hours I need. I'll just suck it up. I'll push through. The physical aspect of it is maybe, you know, sucks every once in a while, but I can do it. So there's no question about that. And these, so that was really hard because it was a, it was kind of a moment in which it's like, okay, if you have any brain at all, start figuring out how to use it, because the physical side of your life is now, you know, been taken down a couple notches. And, so yeah, I mean, I was never, it was hard to kind of have, it felt like something was just taken from me.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't so much that I lost it. And I don't know if it would have been easier at, well, I think it probably would have been, but I don't know if at 50, it would have been easier to be like, ah, I blew my knee out playing YMCA ball. Right. Well, but I had 50 years, you know, I had a good run, and it was kind of, it was bound to happen where it's like, oh man, you're like, for me personally, I was in the peak. I was in the peak of my physical, and I was only getting stronger and stuff. And then just, you know, yanked, just boom.
Right.
You know, and it really happened. The crazy part about it, maybe the hardest part, or what made it so hard, was I never saw the car coming. So it was really like, mm-hmm. I was just all of a sudden woke up and was like, wait a minute, what happened? Did something happen? Let alone this
time lapse. So,
yeah. So it was like going to bed at night and waking up in the hospital with your leg. Cause it's just there's absolutely no forewarning. So, mm-hmm. So that was probably some of the very, very like immediate nature of it, I think was, definitely made it hard. Still is hard, but it's getting better. So, but yeah, that was really hard to get past. Yeah.
Right. Well, and that's actually, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you back on is because of the amount of time that's passed. And of course, just keeping up with what you're doing in your training. So, and, you know, touching on what you just said about, you know, the type of shape you were in and what you were doing before the accident. And we talked about this a little bit on the first episode we did about just getting back into that routine. So you were strength training with, under the starting strength model with Nick Delgadillo, right?
I had trained with Nick for about 6 months probably,
right.
Mm-hmm. and had stopped, kind of had got to a point where certainly I'm no coach, but I was like, you know, I think I can at the very least maintain, mm-hmm. I've got a baby coming. I really actually probably shouldn't be paying for certain things that I'm paying for now. Should save up. So, I hadn't trained with under Nick for, probably going on a year at that point, mm-hmm. but you know, I considered a good buddy of mine. He was an awesome coach. I'd had great results and he was really good to work with and, good to work under.
Yeah. You laid that, like that foundation down, and it's not like you stopped training, you know, you kept training.
Right.
And doing, like you were still training all the way up to your accident, right?
Yeah. I mean, I had, slowed down a little bit in the sense of, you know, hey, it's Wednesday. Rain's going to be coming tomorrow, so I better mow today instead of train and get a few other, you know, it's kind of one of those where before I might've been like, no, no excuses. Like I'm not missing, but so it's kind of like, okay, I've got other things now that I on my plate, the baby's coming, certain things around the house, you know, need to be taken care of, you know? So I'm like, okay. So yeah, I was training, but most of it was really maintenance where I'm like, okay, I'm not probably going to be setting any PRs for a while, mm-hmm. but I still want to get out here 2 or 3 times a week. Get under the bar a little bit, right. and not get completely lazy and, you know.
Yeah.
So, yes, I was training all the way up, and it was a Friday, so I probably trained 2 days before that. So on that Wednesday, I probably did the typical squat, bench, and deadlift. So,
when you had put – I think you mentioned that because of the training you had done, like you said, you're not like a just naturally big guy, and – I think you said you put on 15 to 20 pounds.
Yeah. Muscle. I mean, it was probably some fat for sure, but because I was not eating clean, I'm a hard gainer, as they say. Yeah, so yeah. I'm like, no, dude, I don't know. I don't care what's in it. Will it just have calories?
Just calories.
Give it to me, please. I want it. So, so certainly, but yeah, I mean, I was, I At the peak of training, where I was actually really going in for heavy, I squatted 365 for three.
Nice.
Was benching, had benched 280, but was 265 for reps, deadlifting like 385, 390. And that was at about 144, 45 pound body weight. So, I mean, I had added, I was still only weighing about 144 pounds, but right. I'm 5 foot two for anyone out there. So, you know, I'm not 6 foot and 140. I mean, that's ridiculous. But, so I'm a small guy. So I've never weighed very much. So, but I weighed, yeah, like the mid 120s before then. And even then was pretty strong, I guess. Well, thought I was, you know what I mean? Like, I look okay, whatever. And then starting strength will kind of make you realize how weak you are, you know? It's like, oh shit, I've been really wasting my time with a lot of stuff for a long time, you know? But, yeah, I put on, I got hit when I got hit that morning. I probably weighed like 146 or something like that. Right. So,
that weight gain in that, that training, played a big part in your recovery. And then also like what you did, you know, afterwards, you know, because when we talked, it was about 3 months after the accident. And like I said, barely 3 months after the accident, and you were already back under the bar, like, I mean, very light. And I remember like you would just the bar and 5 pounds, you know, like, you have a prosthesis at a time, you know, you were figuring out how to bench and not have both legs on the ground, you know, because you didn't have two legs, and how to find that balance. And then and it was crazy to watch, like, you know, and they kind of fast forward, I'm like, you know, I kept up with everything, man, and watching all the posts you made on Instagram, you know, of your training blocks, seeing the progression. And then every time it was like, and then you got the prosthesis, and then it was working with it, and then like the first time you did an overhead press, you know, and then the first time the first time you attempted a deadlift, you know what I mean? It was so cool to kind of watch you go through all this. And I know, I can only imagine like the struggle of like every time you did something for the first time or getting back to doing something, in your head, you're just like, I used to do 300 times this weight, you know, or especially when it was just the bar and like a nickel on each side. Right. But you know, but like people were watching, man. And it was huge, huge, like, I don't know if you want to call it motivating, you know, I think that word gets kind of thrown out a lot, but like, definitely inspiring, right? You know, and then just like the mental fortitude it takes to keep pursuing that and keep, you know, keep chugging. Cause you know, you've already done the training block. So like anybody who's trained or who's done any kind of strength training or any kind of sport, like they know like progression comes, and sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's fast.
Right.
So you've done that before, and you know, like what that's like already. But having to like reset so far back and like start from square one of like, I got to learn how to walk. I got to learn how to use the artificial leg and then incorporate all that too as well. I know you knew that, like, obviously because you were doing it, that this is really beneficial for me and my family. So I'm definitely going to keep doing it and for my health. But like, how hard was it to kind of go through that too at the same time?
Well, it was bittersweet because the best news I got was the prosthesis doctor being like, look, man, you can train, dude. I know you're only a few months out, but you're fine. You're the only, just real quick to go back for the recap, crazy. The only damage I did to my body that wasn't my leg being destroyed was a broken collarbone.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of context that might be important, because it's not like I was bouncing back from a totally I was lucky, man, as about as lucky as you can get while losing a leg. So it was like, dude, okay. And the guy's like, you can train. So some of the hardest part was bench specifically,
right?
Because before I found starting strength, that was, you know, as the mantra sort of is, you know, I trained all of the muscle groups that I could see in the mirror. And so right. My bench was very important to me, and whatever. But so getting under the bar, especially because a few months before that, because we were in the new house, which means maybe like 9 months before that, I think it would have been probably, I benched double body weight. And that was a big, that was a goal I had for a long time. So then to get under the bench press for the first time, and I came out of the hospital weighing about 117 pounds. So I lost a bunch of muscle. And, but anybody who's ever been, I guess it doesn't have to necessarily be in the hospital bed, but I think when you're in the hospital bed specifically, like that, you're not really getting up and seeing a mirror like ever. So I have no idea what I look like. So in my head, I'm like, I'm 146 pounds, I'm bench 280, like whatever, no big deal.
This like skeleton.
Yeah, you know, exactly. When I get out, I'm just like, you know, I go into the, and I get home and I go into the bathroom, and it was like literally the first time I had seen a mirror in 6 weeks.
That's crazy.
It's not entirely true, but it was the first time that I was not preoccupied with some other thing to where I was like really looking at myself like, holy hell, dude, what happened to you, man? Like, when did this happen? I, you know, and so getting under the bar to bench press and being the kind of winded after five reps, like I would have been going for a max out, like 260 for five reps with just the 45 pound bar. That was probably one of the harder parts that I had to deal with, to be honest, because mentally that was, because I knew that anything lower, you know, below the waist was going to be challenging. I didn't really expect quite as much of a fall in the upper body. So, you know, easy is maybe not the best word, but the lower body stuff was kind of easy because it was like, I knew that was going to be really hard. And so my expectations were high, but they were more practical, I think. But yeah, benching for the first time and trying to press the bar overhead for the first time was like, bro, I don't know. Like, yeah, that was when I really felt like, I don't know if I'll ever get back to any, like, man, at this point, like, I just hope I can get back to something close, at all, because man, I'm way, way over in the weeds on this, you know what I mean? So, it was hard, but it was, and I appreciate you, saying that, because I think what I was hoping to do with the Instagram stuff was maybe just perspective, because, and not in this like, oh, you know, you could lose it all tomorrow, but more so, I'm just some dude, man. I'm no special freak athlete or whatever that is kind of, you know, was just gonna bounce back no matter what because my genes are just impeccable. Nah, I'm just some dude, and I'm nothing. I'm about as average as you can get on my best day, and so that was more so what I was hoping was like, look, man, whether you're overweight and wanting to lose the weight, or you're skinny and wanting to gain the weight, or you're weak and wanting to get whatever the case, like, look, dude, I'm just a normal dude. And if I can do it, you can do it. And it's really just about like going in, and as cliche as it is, I mean, cliches are cliches for a reason, but you punch the time card, you just put in the time. Some days doesn't feel so great. Other days it feels awesome. But if you just do that, man, you know, and you build up some momentum and you get things going. You don't have to be some extraordinary person to change your life drastically. So, you know, that was what I had hoped. Motivation is good, but I think sometimes that's fleeting and random. And
sure.
So for me, it was like, well, you know, if I can motivate some people, that'd be great. But, you know, if I can just give some people like maybe confidence that like, look, man, you don't have to be awesome at everything. Just go do it. Put some work in and you'll see results, man, you know? So hopefully that's what happened.
Well, you know, I mean, you definitely kind of nailed it as far as the, you know, approach you have to take to that too. And the other aspect of it too is like, you know, going through all that, like, and now you're not just, and of course, like I said earlier, it's not that everything is perfect and it's all back to normal, whatever the hell normal is. Right. But like recently, you know, Starting Strength had their, or USSF had their, online competition
this week.
Right. Yeah. You deadlift the 315, right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Sick. Yeah. I did that yesterday and it was so badass, dude. And I did 300 with some straps like a week ago, which I wasn't really supposed to do, but you know, whatever.
Was it in the training block? It wasn't in the program. Yeah.
No, not quite. But at this point, I'm like, look, dude, if I'm feeling froggy, I'm going to leap, dude. Like, you know, I don't know how many pulls I've got left because technically my knee could break down completely at any moment, actually.
Well, I was going to ask you, like, how stable does it feel? Not, not physically how stable is it, but like when you first started deadlifting again, right? So you've got, first of all, you're learning how to walk with this new appendage, right? Mm-hmm. And then, and you know, and I know that just from, you know, hearing a lot of stories about this and talking to people that above knee amputation versus below knee amputation is, it makes all the difference in the world because of the articulation, like having that knee, exactly. that point to be able to still have that articulation to walk, to bend. You know, there's guys that have, you know, men and women that have, you know, below knee amputations and they've been able to get back to squatting 300-400 pounds, you know, like, you know, yeah. 2-3 times body weight, right? You know, I mean, it's definitely working. The balance is still a little bit off, but like they're able to do it, you know, with a lot of work intensity. So for you, when you started, I mean, each one was different. Like I remember when you first did the overhead press, like the first few videos you posted, you know, you could see you were just like you'd go to press and then you'd block and then you're like, as you're coming up, you it's like lovely. And I'm not laughing because it's funny, but like, I'm sitting there imagining, like, what it'd be like to sit there going like, because if you think about it, it's almost like it'd be like tying your leg behind your back, like you know, tying your foot to your thigh, and then putting your knee like in this post, and be like, all right, brace and push weight over your head, right? And the whole time, feel like it's got to feel like two cinder blocks sitting on top of each other. Like if I go too far one way or the other, like it's just gonna go, right?
Yeah, I mean, I will say that I'm very happy to be born in this modern era,
right?
Because like the prosthetics that I'm using are baller compared to, you know, but it's tough because I can only imagine. I would say this, and I this is kind of what I tell people. If my knee was not damaged, I think I would have gotten back to a pretty normal way of life pretty quick. I was just very lucky to be in good health and in good shape. So I was able to bounce back for the most part, but the knee being locked up was definitely the hardest thing to get over because it didn't for overhead press specifically. So there's a few things. What you don't notice, what you maybe don't notice as much as I now notice is how much you use your toes to stabilize you, to stabilize yourself in any situation. I mean, cool runnings, dude. You grip with your toes when you walk on the ice, man.
Right.
I learned that at like 9 years old watching you use that to balance yourself, your toes, and, you know, just they work like your fingers, dude. It's amazing. And so that's really the hardest part about the overhead press, because I have no way to move that in my ankle. I have no way to move my feet, whether to put pressure with my big toe and kind of lean my ankle, because my ankle doesn't move at all. It's just, there's a little bit of give in the fiberglass foot.
Right.
But I'm not able to decide when that happens exactly. You know what I mean? So you're right. It's like having a foot that's completely asleep and like, you're just, so you're like, you don't know where it's at in space and time, which is hard. It's just, you're there. I don't know exactly how far under me it is, which is weird. I don't know if my toe is slightly in or out because my leg is slightly torqued. Like, it's just a lot of things you don't think about that stuff. And why would you? Of course, you know, it'd be kind of weird if you were thinking about that stuff without, you know, with two working feet and leg, whatever. But yeah, the hardest part is probably the ankle mobility, because not being able to move my ankle at all to change and shift pressure in my foot.
Right.
I think it gives what you're explaining, because it feels like you're sitting up there teetering on just a peg, really. You know, I mean, I don't notice it's a foot. Might as well just be a stick
right
in my head, you know, because it doesn't feel any, I don't
sure.
any feeling. So, but, yeah, that was, overhead press was hard, for many reasons, but that was probably the hardest part, is not being able to gauge your balance, not being able to use your foot at all. And so you're balancing over, basically I have to keep my hip tight and my ass tight as best I can.
Right.
And control all of my balance at my waist, which is hard to learn because you don't really do that anyway. Yeah. So on top of having to kind of relearn to walk, I really had to learn a totally different way of walking that didn't involve the function that I would have had in my foot. So it's like, and I don't want to make it sound like it's that I've been very lucky and I've been able to do it pretty well. And so like, whatever, it's a lot of people have it way worse than I do, but yeah, it's a kind of a pain in the ass, man. It kind of sucked. it was a lot of learning curves to go through, but working with Nick and the starting strength method in particular, it's just another one of these lucky things, man. We talked about it last time, very serendipitous, just been very lucky with that kind of support because I don't think there'd be other training that would have translated either before or after the accident.
I have to imagine that, you know, going through that type of training beyond just like getting stronger again and everything else, kind of bring that rehab, you know, forward and progressing. All those things you just described with the balancing aspect of it and then and learning how to rebalance and use different parts of your body and thinking about different ways you have to flex and squeeze, right? You think about how much that translated to your day-to-day recovery of like your like getting your life back to a some semblance of normal, right? To do certain things. Because you think about that, right? All the things we do like in day-to-day, right? When we're walking around, we bend over to pick something up, we kind of lean a certain way, you know, all those different movements and actions that happen on a daily basis, right? You know, going to the bathroom, like you know, you name it, taking a shower, all those things, getting dressed, you know, and how much did that help progress that? Because you were able to do things under load that required balance, focus, you know, and then that kind of sped up that process for you. I can only imagine of kind of have to rewire how you have to think about moving your body.
Yeah. Because, well, first off, yes. Doing things under load, man, makes it just, it's common sense. I mean, I don't think maybe it's not as common as it should be, but you do a movement that's generally like other real world movements and then add weight to it. And then lo and behold, you get better at the real world movements when you that don't actually have weight attached to them. Bending over, you know, bending down to tie your shoes or bending down to just to sit down and then be able to get back up off the toilet is, you know, which a lot of older people have. You know, it's just things that you don't think about the real world translation as much. But the deadlifting with a load in particular has really leaps and bounds helped me recover because to drive into my, well, and to deadlift without favoring my right leg, which was really hard for me to figure out how to do, maybe just a hard habit to break more than anything. That translates to everything. Like the balance I now have when I'm just bending down to pick up my daughter, the low back strength, the ability to keep certain parts of my back tight or my hips tight. Those things, there's just no question they came back better and faster than they would have had I just, even if I were just doing like, the people at physical therapy were amazing, but even if I were just doing the crap they wanted me to do, it had been such a waste of time. And it compared to what I've done just by doing the general strength training and progressively adding load little by little, because I really don't do any, I don't do any physical therapy specific stuff. Like I said, I really appreciated the men and women I worked with, but it was kind of a waste of my time.
Sure.
Because it was like, look, dude, okay, I attach this band to my leg. And I'm moving and it's like 2 pounds of stress or something, or I'll do presses, which even though they're not legs, I have to learn how to tighten my quad, which is hard. I have to figure out how to keep tight my hip. You know, I have to do these things where those are what translate. In fact, the crazy thing is like, that's how I have to walk is by constantly like flexing. So I have to really, really think hard about bending my knee, you probably never think about it ever. And it's, well, I never did either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you just walk and it's, you don't think much about it. You know, we learn it at such a young age, and now it's like pretty much every step I take, it's not as much that the case, that's not as much the case now, but for the most part, it's kind of like bend, because otherwise I'm just lifting my hips and I'm putting a bunch of stress on my hip now, where it's like, I've got the mobility in my knee now. So I need to think about actually using it, because it's not natural to me. I want to just round my hip and walk, and that's just going to wear my hip out, which I can't be doing that. But deadlifting and learning how to use these leg, you know, use my legs like I used to, that's been what has made all the difference. It really is. I mean, outside of just practicing walking, there's nothing I could have done better. I don't think, you know, being able to squat would have been awesome. I think that would have helped even more, but you know, you take what you can get.
Do you think, it's because obviously, like, you know, you're getting stronger. You know, you're still stronger, you know, so it's not like progress has just stopped. And like you said, the knee is better than where it was before. And you know, it's only been a year and a half and there's so much progress to be made. Do you think you're going to get to a point where you're going to be able to start trying to, do some form of squats to where you get that flexibility in the knee again, or put that there again, where you start just like you did with the bar when you first did presses or deadlift? Right?
Well, I've done a little bit of box squatting.
Mm-hmm.
It's very minor and you know, it's probably not even a half squat. It's probably like a quarter squat, but
it can start somewhere, man.
Well, that's right. And so, it's a hard question to answer because it's just, the doctors really couldn't even give me much of a, they really couldn't tell me what was possible because it was really just like, look, man, you're kind of in a weird position. We don't really know. So just stay active. And frankly, if you're not in pain, then, you know, push yourself and do whatever. So it's hard to say whether or not I'll ever be able to do more than like a quarter squat, box squat, but I can guarantee I'm going to try.
Right.
So, you know, I haven't been doing the little bit of squatting too much here in the last couple of weeks because I've been getting ready to try and do this meet. Mm-hmm. And so, with my left leg being, as weak as it is, generally speaking, I typically don't, I alternate squat and deadlift now, whereas instead of doing them, you know, so I was like, look, the squatting is good, but it's, you know, I want to focus on the deadlift for a little while. So I imagine actually this week I'll probably, get back into doing some box squats with, you know, a couple 10 pounders on either side, maybe, or whatever I can get. But it's really hard to tell where my knee's going to be right now. It's, progress in the mobility of my knee has slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
And so it's very well maybe that I've kind of tapped out, what I'm going to be able to get. So, and that might be the case. And if it is, whatever, I'll just box squat forever. But hey, you know, maybe it'll loosen up some more and I'll be able to get down. And if I could hit a full depth squat, just that body weight, man, like party time.
Yeah, that's great, man. So how's, you know, so obviously the training has been a huge, source of, I guess you call it just, I mean, in a way it's mental therapy too, right?
You know, because, oh yeah, man.
Yeah, for yourself, you kind of get there. You can go, and you know the benefit for you, especially with like all the COVID crap, was you already had a home gym, like a garage gym set up. So, I mean, can you imagine having to do that rehab that you're trying to do in a public gym after all the stuff's happened and everything shut down, and you had no control over? Like, you know, that's.
Well, it's just another one of these things for me, dude. That it's like God had. There's just like too many things just lined up
right
properly. You know what I mean? Where I think having a home gym in the first place was the only reason I probably didn't die, because I was able to train without having to, you know, I could go in and if, you know, and it was much easier for me to remain disciplined to the process because, I threw some money down on a rack and got some weights. So just taking that step, because I had trained for a long time, but I had never been dedicated and disciplined like I was once I got the rack. Once I got the rack, it was like, oh, well, now I have no excuse, like literally no excuse. And, you know, not wanting to drive to the gym is not a very good excuse, but now I don't even have that one. So it was, so the rack, the rack was just kind of this gift from God. It was like, look, dude, buy this, and then it's going to get you ready for this thing. And then once the thing happens, which that's going to suck a little bit, but this rack will also help you bounce back from that as well. So, like, it's this kind of two-in-one deal. It's a great deal. It's a great deal to have spent. You know, I feel like I spent, I mean, less than $1,000 to save my life.
Right. Yeah. You know? So yeah, it's like, put a price on it, right? Yeah, that's what you're gonna do. Yeah.
I can't imagine having to go through it. It would be hard to do logistically, but also, like, I'm just, my temperament does not bode well for these kind of, like, I would drop my mask, somebody say something, I'd flip out probably and be like, nah, I'm done. Then I guess doing this, like, so there's other reasons that the whole COVID thing would have made things difficult, but. But yeah, man, it was, having a rack, dude. Go buy a rack if you're out there and you can, and you've got a little bit of money, go buy one, man, because it's worth its weight in gold. It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, for us, it was, I talked about it on the podcast, but it was, you know, when we left our gym 4 years ago and decided not to open another one, and just, you know, we were 5 months pregnant with our fifth kid, and we were just like, you know what, let's just build like a really nice garage gym. And we started small, and then we really built it out and added to it. And, you know, and a big part of that was Anna Marie building up her business and adding more equipment and whatnot. And then by the time all that nonsense happened, we got so busy between, and that was a blessing, you know, number one, for us to be able to train and not have that worry, but two, also like to be able to maintain our business, and even grow it, both online and in person. So that was huge. And it was, I think what it did was it definitely made a lot of people wake up. Like, as you were saying, like, you know, go invest in something like that for yourself. I mean, a lot of people did. I mean, like, all the equipment sold out, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, like, dumbbells were like gold, man. It was crazy. Yeah. The weight was selling for, instead of like $1 a pound, it was going for, you know, $5-$10 a pound. Yeah. It was nuts, you know? Yeah. And the smart people realized that this is an opportunity or a wake-up call to take back as much control of your life as possible and not put it into these systems that you think are always going to be there. You know, when reality is they're like one or two steps away on the verge of collapse, right? You know, and then the other thing was too, you know, with COVID was like the biggest thing we saw not too long after everything came out, and you kind of realized like what it really was, is take care of your goddamn health. I mean, we were already a nation that was like 40% obesity rate, and that was like conservative, right? You know, some of the highest healthcare costs in the country, in the world. But it's, I think it was like the last stat I remember reading before COVID, because now after COVID, like, you know, half the stats, you can't even tell what's
going on. Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, it was like, I think it was 65 to 70% of the healthcare costs in this country were due to preventative issues, you know, like type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure, high cholesterol, you know, all the things that are diet related and, you know, self-inflicted, you know, smoking, you know, all heavy drinking, liver, like all the damage that people were doing to themselves. Right. And, you know, people, I think a lot of people realize that, you know, like I can't rely on the government or, you know, some doctor to tell me that, you know, to give me some medication or to tell me when I can do this or when I could do that or how much I could do this, and to give me, you know, this medication and then to give me another medication to treat the side effects of the medication. And, you know, some people might think I'm like exaggerating, but I'm not. I saw my mom and dad go through this, you know, both of them, you know, towards the end of their life, you know, my mom with her cancer, and then my dad, you know, when he progressed, you know, like through, you know, Parkinson's and, you know, being pre-diabetic and overweight and a 40-year smoker and atrial fib and having a weak heart and all the things, you know. So, and it was just, you know, one medication after another. And then, like, you open their cabinet, it looks like a pharmacy. And like, what do you want all this shit for? You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's why I think it's really important to really kind of have that message of, like, you have more control over your life than you think you do. And regardless of the circumstances or how hard it gets, you know,
sure.
You know, yeah, it's not going to be easy, but just put, you know, that proverbial one foot in front of the other, you know, and just step by step, you know, incremental deposits of just of wins, whether they're big or small. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess it was harder for me to notice, I suppose. Like, I think a lot of people who don't have racks or whatever set up in their garage or wherever they can that do rely on these gyms really, really became apparent. For me, it was kind of like I had had the rack for a few years already, so
right.
It didn't feel that different. But, you know, when you really look at it, it's like, yeah, man, I'd have been screwed because, you know, luckily I was given the green light for physical therapy, but that was only because of my serious situation. Like
right.
There were many, many people who they were just clearing the books. You know, they're like, nah, right. We're not doing any of this stuff because we don't want people to get COVID.
Right.
So yeah, all these people that were dependent upon the hospital and look, the people that work there, by and large, great people. But they don't have any control of what the hospital is doing per se. And so, yeah. So it's like, so even though I didn't really suffer that, you know, that much as far as that is concerned with being able to train, I was able to still see it as clear as day where it's like, man, there's like nobody here at the hospital. Oh yeah, we're not letting anybody in. You're just kind of a random. Yeah, you're kind of a weird scenario. So you're one of like maybe a dozen people. You know, it's like Jesus Christ, man. Like, what about like and me? And I'm sitting there thinking, like, look, I know my leg is pretty banged up and all this stuff, but like, I'm not dying.
Yeah,
I'm really not. If I couldn't have gone to physical therapy, I would be in a very similar position that I'm in now, maybe
right.
The exact same. So, but there are many people who needed that, who really sure. needed that. And it was a big part of the reason they needed it in the first place is because they had become dependent upon it.
Yeah.
Because they weren't. And I think a lot of it, I just attribute to, just an ignorance of, or maybe an ignorance of what they're capable of even. You know, where they're like, oh, I could never do that on my own, or I can never do this, so I better. But it's like, you know, a lot of people realize, man, it doesn't really matter if I can on my own.
Right.
I have to figure it out. I have to at least try because there's nowhere else for me to go. No one's going to, you know, that's what you learn. You're not, no one's actually taking care of you when things really hit the fan.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you got some close friends and family maybe, but man, when shit really hits the fan, you better be able to, as much as possible, take care of your own because no one's going to give you anything, you know? And, it's easy to get kind of, you forget about that. It's easy to be blind to those things. But like you say, the medicine that's in the cabinets, dude, I am literally chemically dependent on two medications.
Yeah.
And I'm in a pretty good physical situation. So yeah, all these people that have all these, I mean, I'm not overweight. I'm not a smoker. I'm not a drinker. You know, I don't have dude. So, and I'm struggling with like, how do I get off? And now I'm lucky they're not pain medication. It's technically they're nerve pain. So it's actually technically, depression and anxiety medicine.
Right. Yeah.
Which is weird. They've kind of figured out however many years ago that, oh yeah, this helps with nerve pain. This stuff we were giving all these suburban moms to take the edge off. You know, turns out
numb the nerves. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but they're, you know, I don't have to deal with the the kind of dependency that a opioid would have. But I'm still, if I don't take my medication tonight before I go to bed, I will wake up tomorrow like I better get it in me right now or I'm going to be puking in another few hours.
Oh, interesting.
And going through withdrawals.
Okay, so are you at a point now where it's something you still need to take from a pain sample, or are you getting to a point now where you're still taking it because it's kind of that catch 22 where there's the pain, but you're dependent on it and you're trying to figure out how to kind of start weaning yourself
off? I'm in the process of weaning off, but right. The kind of, you know, and this is what you also, you might not realize until you're kind of thrown into it, is really takes a long time to properly wean off of these things, even the things that aren't opioid, which obviously that's the biggest, probably, that I would say. I mean, I don't know exactly what the stats are. I'm pretty sure the opioid crisis is probably the bigger, but antidepressants are just as serious. And so, you know, I'm down 50 total milligrams from like 75 to 25, and I only take that every other night.
Right.
And then I have another medication that I've not weaned off of yet because we're doing one at a time.
Right.
It's kind of what sucks, because it is smart, but it's also very frustrating because it's slow.
Sure.
But you learn pretty quick that you better do it the right way or else you'll get pretty sick and be pretty terrible. And then, you know, it's maybe the catch 22 is, okay, I'm dependent on it, so I need to take it. I need to wean off of it, but I also have to make sure I'm capable of taking care of my wife and daughter.
Right.
In an event, should an event come up, even if, I mean, it's not like a robber or whatever. I mean, like just a general, can my wife depend on me to be able to pick up the baby and change her?
Right. Getting, just being a functioning human being.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Without being like, no, I can't. I'm going to puke again. I'm like, yeah. It's like, no. Okay. Yeah. So I missed a full dosage, on two separate occasions, and they were both just like, okay, I don't know why this took me two to figure out. I shouldn't have figured it out after the first one, but I thought maybe something weird was going on. Maybe I had food poisoning, but it's like, no, man. So, I'm in the middle of, get weaning off of those right now. But yeah, it's a very slow process, which is, and again, I'm somewhat lucky because my situation has afforded me the kind of medical care. Now, I mean, I paid for insurance and such, so it's not like it was completely gifted, but because of the severity, the insurance is way more willing to give me the green light on something. Whereas right. someone who just is addicted to Percocets or something, they probably can't get the insurance company to fork up the money that might be necessary to sure. to go through the process correctly. And you know, that's not saying that that's an excuse or what. It's just kind of the reality of the situation is I'm lucky that I am able to do it correctly so that my normal day-to-day situation really is not affected by the medication.
Right.
You know, where I don't have to do this hard, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, luckily it's not opioids. Mm-hmm. That's really the main thing to me is, you know, I'd be much more scared of the situation if I were this hooked or dependent upon a pain medication like that.
Well, speaking of that, kind of on a lighter note, how has she, like you said, she's 17 months, almost 18, so almost a year and a half, basically, right? Mm-hmm. Has she displayed or kind of made any comments about, like, you know, dad's machine leg versus mom's too? She doesn't know. I mean, because this is all she's known from day one, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, yes. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of, you know, she's not talking a whole lot yet. Certainly right. not enough to where she's like, you know, what's going on with the leg or anything of that nature. But, you know, a lot of dad, dad, and mama, which is fine for me. It's about all I need, frankly. but it is kind of, you know, now that I've really not thought a ton about it, to be honest. But now as I do think about it, she kind of doesn't seem to notice it. So now if I have it off, which... I probably should have it off more often,
right?
Actually, but once I got it, I mean, it was like, I'm not taking this off, dude. Like,
I keep taking my leg off again. Yeah. And again. Like, no, yeah,
no, I don't want to not have one. Okay. Trust me. It's not fun. Just once I get this one, I want it now. It's going to be on. Right. So I don't take it off a ton, in the hours that she's awake. Mm-hmm. And what I do though, yeah, she kind of wants to grab it, and you know, it's got a very, you know, where the ankle would be is a very small diameter of steel, so she can get her little hand basically all the way around it, and like you know, almost like a broomstick type. Like she picks it up, and it's carbon fiber, but it's also stainless steel, so it's got a little enough weight to where she's like, trying to strongman it up, you know, but doesn't seem to notice really, you know. Certainly too young to notice too much, and I mean, once she gets older, she obviously will notice, and she'll obviously notice that I'm not quite as agile as I, you know, as you might, you know, as she might think, where she's like, Dad, what's going on? You can't pull me in this thing for hours on end. I'm like, nah, I need to sit down, give me 10. My knee is killing me. But yeah, she's she doesn't notice, man. And that's just the way I like it. She doesn't have to, you know, I've been very lucky. Like, she doesn't have to know what it's like for Dad to not be able to pick her up, because I can.
Right.
I can walk with her. I can walk around the block with her, you know, holding her hand. I can push her in her stroller. I could push her on her little horsey toy bike thing, whatever it is. Exactly. And so, you know, right now she doesn't know too much. And the stronger I'm getting, you know, before too long, she's not going to notice a whole lot of anything, because,
right, exactly.
You know, it's going to be where it's like nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm getting really close to where very little is a real challenge, like normal stuff, normal day to day stuff.
That's
is
huge.
Pretty much all like, it's good, man. It's cherry on top, man. It's no problem at all. So yeah, luckily she's never really going to have to know, she won't have to know much more than sometimes bad things happen,
right?
But you can overcome them, because my dad did.
Yeah.
And she'll know by that time, by the time she's old enough to put together a thought like that, she'll also have already known that I'm quite the idiot. And so she's going to know that if
she already
Bruce
knows.
Can do it, like, yeah, well, that's fair. No. She looks at me sometimes and I think, gosh, she might already know.
Trust
me. She might already know.
It gets so much better as they get older. They look at you and tell you, like, you're right all the time. And, you know, and you listen to every word. No, they don't.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can't imagine that's happened very often, my friend.
No, I just, you know, I've been podcasting now for a little over a year. And as we speak, there's a 10-year-old behind me who knows not supposed to be in here right now. And yet here she comes sneaking in here.
Do it. Do something about it. I mean, I was just today. So we've got like one of our heater vents,
right,
comes out from the side of the wall rather than the floor. And so it's got a little bit of a ledge essentially on it, sticks out a few inches because it's decorative, I guess. It's really now a problem because she's like, oh, I can step on this and I can pull myself up at the windowsill. No. That's got to be safe. And so I'm like, no, you can't. Yep. So it's like, yeah, but it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that I say, no, honey, no, pick her up, move her. No, honey, pick her. No, she runs right back. And she's not only is she not afraid, she's laughing.
Oh yeah. So what's she's not, like, curiosity. You know what I mean? Like fearless curiosity of like, So,
yeah. So it's, but it's, it's great. She's awesome. She's healthy and happy. And that was all that's all any parent really wants at the end of the day, you know. Just
that's great, man. So last question I wanted to get before we wrap this up. you know, I know you, like we just touched on, you just submitted your, you just did your first kind of online competition and, mm-hmm. you know, some numbers there. Do you have a goal of eventually getting to a point where you're going to be able, you want to compete in person, like in a competition, like as things open up again and they start holding them, like Anna Marie, yeah. You know, she's a strength coach. Like she was out in Washington. She says, hi, by the way, I was texting her that I'm talking to you.
Oh yes. Very nice. Yes.
Yeah. So she's out in Washington. She's flying back tonight. She went out for cause she had two clients competing and she was going out to handle them as well. And it was the first competition nice. That she's been to in probably about a year, besides the ones that we did some mock meets at our garage sure. or, you know, yeah. So like, you know, things are opening up now. So do you have a desire to compete?
Yeah. Delgadillo is saving a spot for me, for the first weekend of October, out in Wichita Falls.
Right.
So I plan on doing that. I might have to just, you know, skip the squat, but I plan to go hard, man. I plan to be pushing some weight ahead overhead. I matched my all time PR today with that. So as long as I don't screw something up, that should be pretty much a guaranteed PR, no matter what I push up.
Right.
And then, my life kind of got a little, busy with the baby coming, right? So I never actually pulled more than 400 and technically I never pulled more than 385. So at 315, I mean, you know, you can do the math, man. It's not that far off actually. So, I got 5 months, a little less than 5 months, but I would really like to pull, technically my meet deadlift record is only 365. Nice. So that I'm hoping to get to, I'm hoping to pull that at the beginning of October.
Yeah, you guys- I'd like to.
Yeah, I got time. I mean, I've really progressed pretty well. So I'm hopeful that it'll continue. And getting over 300 on the deadlift was reinvigorating, you know. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, because it's not that I was getting bored by any means, but it was just kind of like, you know, okay, but now I really can say, you know, you say a lot of things. Whether to sound cool or to try and be humble, where it's like, you never know. But you know, 315 yesterday was when I was like, you know what, dude? Maybe there really is the real limit is whatever I choose it to be.
Oh yeah.
Where you know, whereas before it was like, I don't know what I'll do. I don't know if I'll be able to. So it's really a crap. But now it's like, I don't think it's not so much of a crapshoot anymore. It's like, you know what, dude? I can. At this point, I'm just kind of like, I think my prosthetic will give way before I do. So, because I'm actually, I found out a few weeks back, which gave me a little cause to pause, but I'm already exceeded the limit on the weight. And I guess this makes sense, practically speaking. Prosthetics are not typically given to very heavy individuals.
Sure.
They're not really, in fact, the heaviest is really only rated for like, you know, just under 400 pounds total.
Right.
So, I mean, I just went over that yesterday.
Right.
So now I'm kind of thinking, well, if I can in one way or in some ways kind of beat out the machine that I have as a leg, well, then there's no sense in putting some sort of arbitrary limit on what's going to happen. So,
have to upgrade soon because, you know, I've seen some, there's a couple good pages, amputees that lift and following a few other, lifters that have had amputations. They actually talked about like having to find upgrades in the prosthesis to be able to handle the weight of, of like what they're doing as they climb over 400 pounds, 500 pounds, you know, like on deadlifts and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And I get that too, like talking about like that number of 315, you know, I think it's a guy thing or I don't know, maybe it's just a lifter thing in general, but kind of measure that success by not, you know, PRs are cool. And they're important markers. But we have those like benchmarks of like the plate number, like
exactly.
245s,
yeah.
405, you know, 495, you know, like those numbers. Like, I remember I was telling Anna Marie when I was totally deconstructing my squat last year because I freaking hate squats and I was screwing everything up and went all the way back down to 225 and started over again, like on a novice progression. How, you know, like I got back over 400 a few weeks ago on my working weight and hit 405. I said, okay, I guess I feel like a man now. And she just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
like I'm 6'1", I'm like 265, you know what I mean? I'm like, I should be able to at least squat, you know, double. My, I also do jiu-jitsu 5 days a week now too. So, but it's all relative as far as like what I want to have. But yeah, there's that thing, you know, like where you have these plate numbers that you should be able to have, you know, as far as like, I should always be able to bench at least 405. I should be able to, you know, squat, yeah, you know, at least four, you know, mid fours, and my deadlift should be over five plates, you know, like that's like the bare minimum. Like I weigh myself on, you know, so
I think it's probably was traditionally a guy thing, but I think now as more ladies get involved, which is awesome. It's 100%. It really is just a lifting thing, but because dude, 314 is great, but it's not 345s.
Exactly.
So it looks ridiculous, number one, because you got to put these tiny little micro plates on. But it's just, I don't want to, I'm lazy. I don't want to load up a bunch of plates.
Right.
I want just 45s on. That's yep. Fine. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, done, done. But yep. It was just kind of an arbitrary limit I had set previously, thinking,
yeah,
boy, if I ever got to 315, I mean, that'd probably be it, you know, but it's like, eh, didn't take as long as I would have thought. So now it's there's no point putting a limit. Now right. The limit is just, okay, 5 more pounds on Monday and 5 more on Wednesday. And we'll just go back to that. And it's nice because it kind of takes a little bit of burden off this right. Kind of, all self, inflicted. You know, mm-hmm. Obviously certainly no one is like, yeah, you're not lifting enough, you know? So it's all personal, but it's, you know, there was a burden there to where it's like, you're probably never going to be anywhere close to where you were. So just get ready to be okay with that. Get ready to move on with that. Get ready to live a life where you're going to be, even if it's only in your eyes, substantially less physically right. Than you were before. So just get okay with it now, mm-hmm. because it's going to have, you know, and now it's like, maybe not. So, you know, what the hell, man, and having a meet out in Wichita, mm-hmm. which the Mecca, the promised land, it gives me something to work toward for the next few months to where I can right. really kind of be like, okay, there's a reason I want to push. And as long as I can stay healthy, you know, I think it'll be just one of those in a long line. You know, I'm still early on, like we've said a couple of different times. It's only going to be a couple of years out at that point. Yeah,
exactly.
So, you know, it's just the more I can get done right mm-hmm. now,
yeah,
the more I'm like, well, just wait for until 5 years, you know, mm-hmm. you just make it so much easier to have these long-term goals. If you're able to knock out a few kind of short-term ones, you know, and kind of go impress yourself. You know, I'm very proud of myself. I'm proud of what I've been able to do. And I didn't know if I would feel that way. I didn't know if I would get to a point where I would be able to honestly tell, you know, say to myself, you know what, man, you're doing all right.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm doing all right, man. You know,
so
I'm happy, man. I've been yeah. very lucky, man. It's been an absolute blast, all things considered. So,
yeah. I mean, you know, I think that's one of the best ways we can kind of wrap up this podcast in that message of like, just don't set limits on yourself, you know, just put the work in and kind of see, you know, what's going to come, you know, day to day. And then, you know, and make the adjustments that you need to as you go along, but don't just kind of, you know, you have one setback and then all of a sudden, like, you know, your life's right. over, you know, and yeah, I know sometimes it seems that way, but, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's, it's sometimes a fine line, but
right.
setting a goal is not the same thing as a limit. And what I had done is set a limit.
Very true. Very true.
You know what I mean? I set a 315 limit mm-hmm. instead of a goal. And
right.
now, and then I realized, oh man, that should have been a goal this whole time. So now right. next goal, what's the next goal? So yeah, getting the business of goals and out of the business of limits, I guess.
Smart.
But it took a while to get there, but I'm happy.
Yeah. No, man. I'm excited, man. it's really, like I said, it's inspiring to see kind of the progress you made over the last year and a half. Looking forward to seeing kind of what you do in that meet, you know, in October. So,
well, you'll see it on Instagram. I'll probably break down and pull something heavier than I should ahead of schedule, because I'm like, I can't wait till then. I got to see if I can do it now.
Right.
But, yeah. I wanted to say that I appreciate your support and support. It's been really cool to have gotten to meet you guys. I've been blessed with a lot of really cool people that have come into my life, through all this. And, you guys are definitely two of them. So I really appreciate it. Little things matter a lot when you're kind of up against it, you know, little things matter, and meeting a couple cool people that you shoot the shit with from time to time on Instagram doesn't seem like much, but it just, these things add up, you know what I mean? So, I appreciate it, man. I really do. It's been a lot of fun to do a couple podcasts. I would have never fucking told you to do that. You know, that's the weirdest thing for me to, it's been a lot of fun getting my story out. It's been a lot of fun. I've gotten a lot of cool feedback because of it. And, I'm never going to be ultra famous, that's for sure. But fuck that, man. It's been cool to have like a couple dozen people maybe write to me and these different things where they're like, hey man, you know, I found you through this and this and that or whatever. And it's like, it's really cool, man. So I appreciate you letting me tell my story and kind of, give me a chance to, if possible, help give people some perspective and kind of let them know that normal people do this kind of shit every day. And I'm one of them. So just be a normal person, man. Cause it's way more likely that you're normal. That doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. Just fucking take care of it. So yeah, man. So I really appreciate it. I really do.
Appreciate you coming on. I mean, like, you know, without awesome people to talk to like you, then this podcast is just me rambling and nobody wants to hear that. So
a few people maybe.
For sure not my wife. So
I know how that is. But all right, brother. Well, I appreciate it, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for catching us up. And like I look forward to kind of keeping up with what you're doing and racing and soon in the future.
Absolutely.
All right, Bruce. Take care, man.
All right, buddy. Yes. See you, Alex. See you, buddy.